All right, welcome everybody. I'm here this morning at Beach Lane for our Beach Lane Presents with Radio Karam and my good friend Minnie Trigger. Welcome, Minnie.
Thanks, Nick.
And Minnie is here today. She runs a business called Mimicking Nature, which is primarily about bringing garden beds into your home. So, Minnie, let's just start by you introducing yourself, telling us a bit about yourself and how you got into this particular form of gardening.
Hi, everyone. I'm Minnie and I'm a mum with three boys, and I was home very passionate about organic food and eating healthy with kids. And I wanted to grow my own veggies, and I have for a long time, and I started a few times and it didn't have much success. And I just felt so overwhelmed with all the gardening information out there. It can get so complex and complicated that I just ended up even asking friends and finding out there's so much information. So I did a course at Ceres, which is a great place to go if you ever want to learn more or do workshops or courses in Melbourne. And it was on sustainable gardening. And I came away from that and went, wow, this doesn't have to be hard. This is easy. If we just look at nature and we copy nature, then we'll have success and you take all the work out of it on our part because nature does the work. So then I came up with, I went home and I did veggie beds, which is called a no-dig system. I don't know if people have heard of the no-dig. So that means that you're not digging and you're taking the labour out of veggie bed making. And it literally does layers similar to what you get in a forest. So the idea is that the best soil that you can get is in the forest floor, and it's called humus. And it's that really thick black soil that is made over hundreds of years on the forest floor. And what happens is you'll have your leaf litter and you'll have your animal poo and your animal compost and everything over years and years and years in the forest floor, and that's all broken down and protected because soil's a living organism and needs to be protected with a skin. And so the compost and the layers create that, and then it makes the best soil that you can get to grow pretty much anything in. And so basically what we're copying when we're making a bed set I make with a no-dig are the same layers you get on the forest floor, but we're speeding it up. So what you'll get in hundreds of years on the forest floor, we're creating in a couple of months. So you'll have your layer of compost, you'll have a layer of fertiliser, and you'll have a layer of straw. And what I do for people to make that all simple is I'll come to your house and I can show you how to do a no-dig and create one for you. It just needs to, it can be as simple as a 1 metre by 1 metre. It's to start from. And yeah, and that's what I do. I come and I can kind of do it to show people, and then hopefully they learn that and then they can then go and do it themselves afterwards. I give everyone all the information to then do it themselves from there.
Amazing. So I certainly know, speaking for myself, I don't really think that I'm much of a green thumb, but I'd love to be able to grow my own vegetables, and there's nothing better and more satisfying than being able to go into your own backyard and pick your fresh veggies and herbs to use in your cooking. And but with backyard and space, and some people living in apartments these days but still wanting that quality of life and being able to grow their own, what sort of environment do you need? Where can they be planted? Where can you create these garden beds? You mentioned they can be as small as 1 metre by 1 metre, but yeah, are they suitable for all homes? And
yeah, definitely. These are your backyards. So you can do this on a balcony. You can do these in pots. You can do the same no-dig system in a pot. So literally just outside your door. You can do, if you don't have, a lot of people in the city don't have much grass, you can literally do this no-dig veggie bed, which is three layers of what I've spoke about before, on concrete. And because it's creating the soil, you don't have to have the base, or you don't have to have soil underneath it to start with. So it makes it really easy, and for a lot of people there's basically no one that can't grow their own veggies with this system. The key in it too is every layer that when we're setting up the bed is saturated with water, which mimics what rainwater would be in nature. So the fact that it's got layers and layers of water in it, because good soil will hold its water, means there's a lot less watering, which is always the catch with veggie growing. It's always about the watering. So your soil will hold water in it, and you'll only should have to water it once a week, which is a massive difference.
So you're saving on water, you're saving on your grocery bills because you're able to grow your own, and we all know how expensive buying organic produce can be these days as well. And it can be done on concrete or in a pot. So yeah, people in apartments, or small houses with courtyards and that type of thing can still...
I was going to say, the interesting thing is with organic food too, because what happens in supermarkets and a lot of places, it might say certified organic, but it may have been sitting on a truck for a week. It may have been sitting there for a long time. I'm sure everyone's experienced, you've gone into a shop before and you're looking at it, says certified organic, but it looks like it's dead food. It's just been too long that it's been sitting there. So if people can keep in mind the idea that chemical free and local is the best you can do, and that can be organic, but the idea, as soon as you pick something, it starts to die. So the sooner you can get it from when it's picked to your plate is where you get your nutrition from, which is why it's so great if we can just be growing just a few of those greens and essentials, because we'll get the most nutrition out of our food, especially things like herbs. You buy bunches of basil, you buy bunches of coriander, and there's so much waste sometimes where you could just be going in the garden just picking what you want for dinner and getting the most nutrition, because literally it's taking next to no time at all to get it to your plate.
I love that.
Yeah, that's the idea. The most nutritional choice to be growing your own as well. It also, what I found was about growing your own too, was great with having kids, is there's a better connection for kids with where food's grown. I think people in society these days, we can get a bit disconnected on where our food comes from. And if you've got children going back out in the yard and they're picking snow peas and eating them, or going and grabbing a carrot, I think that's pretty cool for kids to understand and to... I think we've lost a bit of that sometimes.
Definitely.
Lost a bit of confidence.
Yeah, I think that's really important. How do your boys get involved in the garden then?
Oh, I've got a teenager who's probably past it. But my younger one's 8-year-old's really interested, and he loves to come out and help me, and he's got his own little berry patch. And, yeah, to get the kids involved, I'm actually going to be working with a couple of schools down Mount Eliza way and just teaching those kids how to do no dig, because it's really easy for them to go in at lunchtime and be able to do it. So I think the easier it is and the more kids can get involved, the better.
Mm.
They have to want to be involved themselves. I don't throw it on them, but even if they don't necessarily have an interest in it, the fact that they see where their food comes from and they understand it, I think's, yeah, great.
Yeah, I think that's amazing.
And they
can
come out and help pick and...
Yeah, and if it's simple for kids and it's simple for adults, then there is really no reason why you can't give it a go growing your own at home. We talked a bit about organic and the importance of that and the increased nutrients, but if you're growing them at home, what are the options then for pest control and ensuring that you don't then have to use the chemicals to get your produce so that you can keep it organic?
So the idea is it's all about the soil and about getting the soil right, and that's your foundation. If you have really good, healthy soil that's keeping its moisture and you're keeping on top of, you should create really healthy, strong plants, and you'll have less problems with disease and less problems with pests, just the fact that you can get your plants healthier, and that's probably the first priority to make sure of. There are lots of, probably... Every plant and every little situation, there's things with pests, like little things like you can... It's almost... There's so many you probably have to Google if you come across something little. Like we worked out, Nicola and I worked out with snails, like eggshells can be good. Snails don't like walking over eggshells.
Mm-hmm.
And copper tape is good for snails. Things like that. I think it's better to probably not get too overwhelmed with that to start with when you're starting off. Get your soil right. Get your strong plants happening, and if you do come across anything, you really shouldn't have too many problems when that's happening and your soil's covered. And then your pests and things you can kind of sort out along the way, and they shouldn't be a big deal. But people also need to be okay with organic, that you are going to lose, say, 20% to pests if you're not using sprays and you're not killing them, basically.
Mm.
And that's part of an ecosystem, and they're important too, and they're part of that. These principles have come from permaculture, and that's very much an idea of it being permanent agriculture and being systems, and everything has its place. You're looking at an ecosystem. So, yeah, those bugs have their place as well. It's just about keeping balance.
Definitely. And I think that's a really good piece of information to set people up with an expectation that there will be a portion of their crop that will be... have to be sacrificed to the bugs or the other critters that crawl around the garden, but that shouldn't stop you from then still having a really successful yield if you do this particular method properly. So you mentioned a bit about permaculture. Can you tell us a bit more about what that is and how that came about? And
yeah, permaculture started off in Australia by two men, one in Victoria, one in Tassie. And it's now gone to the world, and it's really making a massive difference on the world now. And it's about understand. It's quite complex, permaculture, but the principles are there for people to grasp. And there are really good permaculture books to keep it simple, because permaculture design is probably what permaculture is about. So it's about designing a whole system within your backyard. So you'd have the idea of, like, you'd have your chooks involved. You'd have where your water table is. You'd have a lot of systems involved. It's about sort of taking in everything in your yard to sort of, but it can be brought down to be simple. I'm probably about not getting it too complex with permaculture and keeping the principles simple. There's one simple principle that they do. It's called zoning. So in zone, we have zone one and zone two and zone three in your yard. So in zone one, you want to keep all those things that you need to get to daily. So if you're growing vegetables and herbs that you want to grow every day, always keep it close to your door. Don't leave it down the back of the yard, because you won't access it and you won't use it. So keep all those things that you want to access daily in your zone one, and that's just a measurement that's just not too far from your back door or wherever you're getting outside. Zone two might be those fruit trees that you might not have to get to very often, a bit further down in the yard. And things like compost don't want to be too far away, because you do want to access them daily. People sort of get set on it being, think that compost is disgusting and smelly and put it miles away in the yard, and then they don't use it because it's too hard and it's raining. Mm-hmm. But compost is an interesting thing at the moment. If you're on my Facebook page, which is Mimicking Nature Veggie Beds, I put a lot of things up there about what's happening as far as new information. There's a movement called Kiss the Ground. It's happening in America through permaculture, and about that if everybody composted, that we can make a massive difference on our landfill. So if anyone thinks composting's hard, it's really not. You don't have to have... I could talk a lot about composting, but those bins that you buy that have a lid on them, they don't work. So anyone that has those bins with the lid on, I don't know why they sell them, put holes in the side of it, because compost needs oxygen. The microorganisms need oxygen to be able to break it down. And if you shut off all the oxygen, it just ferments and it smells. So it's really important to get air into your compost. And even if you just turn, you could just turn compost over once a week, and that will help it break down a lot quicker. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have to be in a bin. I've just got a spot in my yard that I want to maybe have a bed in the future, and it's just on an existing bed, and I just put all my scraps, all my veggie scraps, and you can put shredded paper, you can put all your leaves, your green waste on that pile, and I turn it. I don't even turn it sometimes. Sometimes I turn it once a week. Not even that. It gets pretty neglected, but it's just added to. If you don't put you don't put eggs, breads or meat in, you won't have the problems with rats and vermin, and it doesn't, if it's open like that, it doesn't smell. And that's been left probably 12 months I've been doing that spot. I know it's a long time. I went to it the other day and I just lifted off the top layer, and there's all this beautiful compost with these worms and all this amazing, which you can't buy. If you can make your own compost, it's going to be a lot better than what you can buy. Mm-hmm. So I then took that and then put that all over a veggie bed that I was making just next to it. Mm. Or you can literally plant and make that into a bed as well. So it doesn't necessarily, if you've got the room and you live where I am, which is down Metal Eyes away, yeah, you can definitely just be, you don't have to get too precious with your compost.
I love that. I love the zoning the strategy around zoning, because I know certainly for myself, I keep my herbs at my back door, and it means on those cold wintry nights I can actually hang out at my back door and chop off what I need, and there's no excuse for not then using them in my cooking, because they're accessible and they're easy to get to, and I don't have to venture outside very far at all. And the fact that, yeah, composting can be so simple, I think that's something that a lot of us don't do enough of these days. We're generating all these scraps and we so easily put them into our landfill waste, but they can become such an important part of our garden and giving back and further producing then our own vegetables from our waste. So
yeah,
it's really
definitely
good to know that it's simple and that you need that aerobic environment, not an anaerobic environment. So,
and it becomes compost as soon as you can't recognise it anymore. Mm. That's pretty much what compost is. But yeah, you can make amazing compost. The other good, if people were thinking about compost, you could always message me on Facebook if you've got any questions. But worm farms are great too. If you just got your using vegetable waste, there's no smell. They just need to be in a shaded spot where it's dark. But yeah, there's really good worm farms. You can make them yourself. It's not very hard. Worms just want to go to the surface. You put compost in a box, they want to go to the surface where the scraps are. And you keep adding boxes on top and they'll keep going to the top. And then they leave behind them in the bottom box, is how they work normally. You take that away and they're left all their poo, their castings, and that's the best fertiliser you could get. So, and you can't buy that either.
Yeah.
So you literally can be saving a lot of money by doing these simple things and just making these systems within your home where you're creating your own things and there's no waste. It's all going back into your garden, back into your home, and helping you grow again and have veggies.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Now I want to ask the difference between organic and biodynamic. This is something that we're starting to hear a bit more of. It's a bit more of a topic that's coming into households. So can you tell us the difference between the two?
Organic, with the way that it's grown, organics are chemical free. Market gardening and organics can mean that it still can be very traditional in that it's quite linear and it's still farming like market gardening has been, but they're not using any pesticides and they're all using natural products. But they're definitely using more natural means to grow their food. Biodynamics is looking at the soil as a living organism and it's encompassing more of a system. So it's probably that step further than organic. It goes a little bit more full on. They put things into the soil and they're treating the soil as a living organism, as I said. So there's just a little bit more detail that goes into biodynamics to keep that as simple as possible.
Sure.
Because I know I'm not wording that anyone listening to this, I'm not wording this in the best definitions, but just to keep that simple. Organic is great, biodynamics that step more again if you come across biodynamic.
Fantastic. So I love that you have a wealth of knowledge about all things gardening, but you're trying to bring it back to a really simple form so that the everyday person, you know, can really embrace this and take it on board and do it at home.
Yeah.
So Minnie ran a workshop here last weekend at Beach Lane. She was also part of our autumn festival a couple of weeks ago. Can you tell us a little bit about what your workshop involved and what people could come to learn from you about to then go and apply at home?
Yeah, thanks, Nick. So the workshop was about being able to create your own no-dig veggie bed yourself. So I talked about things like exactly what I do when I go to people's homes, because the other thing I offer too is I can come to your home and I can do a consult one-on-one. So it's the same as doing a consult, but it was doing it in a group. So same thing when I go to someone's home, we talk about orientation, about where the best place is to look at a veggie bed. Veggies need, when it says full sun for veggies, that's 6 to 8 hours of sun, sort of generally. So you don't have to have sun, you know, like 10 hours of the day. You want a protection from the west. We just talk about things like that. The west, none of those plants are Australian mostly. They're all European, so they don't cope well with the Australian afternoon sun. So it's always protection from the west if possible. Things like that we talk about, and we try and find the best spot or location. So we talked about that in the workshop for people to do. We talked about what the no-dig is and looked at a sample of what humus looks like. And had a sample. I bought my soil test kit because what veggies need to grow, they need pH neutral soil or compost. So it is important if you're buying, especially if you're buying bulk. I think you're okay if you're buying compost in bags because most they will be pH neutral to be able to be bagged. You want to make sure it's an organic, a certified organic compost, because otherwise you don't really know what's gone into it to make that compost for food. If you're buying in bulk, make sure you buy one of those soil tests to test that it's pH neutral, because I did go around to a lot of nurseries when I was looking for compost and a lot of them were alkaline. Yeah. And if I had have bought all that, it wouldn't have been suitable for growing veggies, or the veggies can't take up all the nutrients if they haven't got that pH neutral or a little bit acidic in the compost. It's good to remember. So we talked about things like that. We talked about what the best things to use for fertilisers to set up the bed, and why chook's good, chook poo, because of their varied diet. We looked at the straw layer, as well as the, where, and basically I gave people all the information of where to get this to, like where to go locally, depending on where they live, to get this mulch, you know, to get the straw, to get the fertiliser, to get the compost, and gave them contact details on that. I gave them a full, you get a full no dig, and this is what I do when I go and see people. I give you the full no dig construction written down on a sheet, so it's step by step, so it's really clear, and for you to be able to do it yourself. With how many centimetres and layers of what to do with each. We talked a lot about composting and about worm farms. We talk about crop rotation and how that's important to prevent disease and pests as well. Crop rotation is quite important. And I gave just a really simple handout on that so people got their head around it. And basically that means whatever, there's plants that can benefit to be planted after certain groups, like you'll have your leafy veggies and then you'll have they take a lot of nitrogen out of the soil, so then you'll put your peas and the pea group in next, and they will put nitrogen back in. So there's just things like that, and basically you don't have to do a whole bed when you're doing crop rotation. You can literally harvest one plant. I can take a lettuce out and replace it with the next group in the one spot. You don't have to get too stressed about it being a whole bed at once. And when you do that new spot, you can literally do that no dig in one little spot where that root system is taken away and left a bit of a hole. So you can do that in little spots. And we talked about, this time of year and the easiest veggies to grow and where it's good to get seedlings, and there's good posters. There's good places out there. Diggers have really good posters. I'm sure people are familiar with them for seeds. Their seeds and seedlings are great. They have great posters on when to grow and when to... what to look at this time of year. This time of year is still, I was going to let you know, it's still good for your lettuces and your spring onions, spinach, silver beet, all those sort of things. Really could be all year round. You could be growing. You shouldn't really have to go and buy lettuce again, basically. And if you can go out in your yard and get fresh lettuce instead of having a whole lettuce sitting in your fridge for lunch, it's amazing nutrition-wise and waste-wise. Mm.
And you can really taste the difference too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as you can hear, you get amazing information and so much of it to apply back home. And if you're still not convinced, Minnie has also set up some garden beds here at Beach Lane in the garden out the back. So you're always welcome to come down, check them out. Why don't you tell us a little about what you've set up here for us, Minnie?
Yeah, I did I think it was in spring last year, I did a no dig at the back here. And in Beach Lane, you can come and have a look. We also did some veggie pots out there, and it just gets us to 1 metre by 1 metre, and I just topped it up. So every 6 months, once you've got a bed set up in a no-dig veggie bed, just every 6 months, when you go to do pretty much spring and autumn are your good times to be replanting for seedlings. So you just do a growth layer, and I just done that out the back. I've pretty much just put a layer on top to bring it back to life again and put some new seedlings in. And if anyone wants coriander or lettuces, please go and use them, because the kitchen here, forget it sometimes. I've got to tell them, go and there's all this stuff growing out there, you've got to go and use it. So yeah, there's heaps of coriander out at the moment. Go and have a taste and you'll see for yourself.
Incredible. So we have our own veggies growing here at Beach Lane. Minnie, if people want to find you, obviously you've done some workshops here, but you can come to their houses, as you've mentioned, and do one-on-one consults. Where can they find more information about you and how to get you to their homes?
Thanks, Nick. If you want more information about everything that I do, it is on my website. So it's www.mimickingnature.com. If you have a look there, and then that's got all the information of what I've talked about today. You can message me from there, and basically, if you're wanting to do a veggie bed, I can come and get you started. I do a free initial consult if you want to do a veggie bed. So I come to your house first and we work out where and what and how. And then I come back and I can bring all the materials for you just to get you started. Because the main thing is, I think sometimes even though you know all the information, just to make a time and a date and to physically do it, it's good to have that person with you to just give you the confidence to get started. Mm-hmm. And so I can do that with you the first time. If I do that, it's a cost of $199 for a complete bed with all materials, and that's all the information given to you and me doing it for you in your home. Which works out pretty good, and it saves you a lot of time of having to think of that. And it just gets you started quickly, which sometimes... And you've probably still got a window at the moment, being May, if in the next few weeks, if you're still thinking about growing some veggies, and like I said, you can still be growing veggies like lettuces, spring onions, and spinach and silver beet. Those sort of things can be grown all year round. So there's nothing to say that it's too late at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
You can be having some greens for yourself.
Fantastic. What amazing value. And I can personally speak from experience as Minnie has helped with my own garden, and I couldn't be happier. It has made my life a lot easier, and I love being able to go out and get my fresh veggies.
And you'll see Nick's garden on my website. It's pretty much a photo of Nick's, because she was my first, you're my first gardener, yeah. I think, pretty much. Your photos. And if you want updates with on composting or anything that's out there, if you go on my Facebook page, like I said, I'm updating that all the time, and that'll give you really good information that I love to share. Local information as well as general information about how to copy and mimic nature.
Fantastic. So if you haven't got a veggie bed and you want one, or if you need some help with starting up a veggie bed or modifying your existing one, be sure to get in touch with Minnie. Thank you so much for your time this morning. I think you've left our listeners with a wealth of knowledge. Is there anything you would like to share before we finish up?
No, thanks for listening, everyone. I hope you're inspired to grow your own food. If everybody grew a little bit of their own food, just a 1 by 1 meter, if everybody did that, I think we could make a massive difference in the world.
Fantastic. So big thank you for coming in this morning, Minnie, and a big thank you to Radio Carrum. Be sure to get down to Beach Lane and check out how you can do your own garden at home. So simple. Thank you.
Thanks, Nick.